I can go do a bunch of bad things because it's possible? No, you're not permitted to do that. That's a twisting of the scripture. Well, he's going to make sure I pass this test. Well, he expects you to study too. That was something that was amazing when I actually broke a book open and studied for a test. Wow. My English teacher was even amazed. And it was Ron's mom. Ron Davidson, Vicky's husband. It was his mother. She stopped by my desk. She said, "This one out of the entire class amazes me." And she put it down in front of me. I got 102. So it paid to study. But anyhow, we're going to bless the offering this morning. We're going to pray for the request. And we're just going to keep trucking. Amen. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you for this day. Lord God, we give to you today our first fruits and our offerings, Lord God. I bless them according to your word, Lord. I thank you, Father, for moving, for opening the doors that are needed, Father, and for shutting the doors that are not needed. Lord God, I bless this tithe and offering now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. For those of you online, we're working with a little things. Hopefully in the next couple weeks, we'll have a new setup going back there that records better. And we're not using tiny little cell phones. I bought a camera a couple weeks ago to see how we could work it. And I'm having problems getting it to connect to the iPad that we got for it. So, or the tablet. It's not an iPad. I'm too cheap. Praise God. Well, somebody asked me this morning and said, "Do you clip yourself when you was shaving?" I said, "No." I said, "My wife punched me." Well, it was her fist, but that's not what caused it. And as Miss Faye was so elegant to defend my wife, she said, "It sounds like you punched yourself because I rolled over in the bed into her hand." And it's like, "Oh, okay, there's a knuckle there." Okay. Okay. Pastor. Yes, ma'am.
Jenna gets home this week.
Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, she's... And God's moving in the family. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go before the Lord in prayer and we'll pray for these requests. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to bring these requests. Lord God, they're concerns of our brothers and sisters. And so, Father, we pray for them now. And Lord God, I thank you that you have moved in Eli's life. Lord God, that you're directing his paths. Father, that even though he may not have ever dreamed this is where he was going, he's going. So, Lord, I pray that as he moves on, as he apparently is heading to Kentucky, Lord God, that you go with him, you make his path straight. Lord God, you lead him to the perfect place for him. Lord God, that you surround him with people that are true. No fake friends, no backstabbing co-workers or anything, Lord God. You put people with him, Lord God, that can influence his life for good and help him through. In Jesus' name. And Father, we pray for our dear sister Sherry. Lord, you see what's going on. And you know, she's having some restless issues now after surgery. Lord, we pray for your peace upon her. We ask, Lord God, that you help her to settle. Lord, I thank you right now that her body's continuing to heal, and we will see our dear sister soon. In Jesus' name. And Lord God, I pray for this woman who has stage 3 melanoma. Father, you are the great physician. You heal. Lord God, I thank you right now that you're touching her body and you're touching and removing that cancer. Lord God, it says in your word that if we believe that by your stripes we are healed, then Lord God, we believe for her as well. Lord God, this cancer is shriveled up. This cancer is going out of her body in Jesus' name, and life. Life, life, life to her in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we thank you right now. Father, crops are coming off, but Lord, we still need to see some changes in some things. So Father, I pray right now that you help every farmer out there hold on. Lord God, as prices do need to start reflecting what it costs. Lord God, I thank you that you're moving in this. Father, we thank you for bountiful harvest as well, Lord. But Father, we just continue to pray for protection over them, Lord, and for wisdom on their behalves. Father, we thank you also that as we stand, Father, you told Balaam to prophesy that anybody who would bless Israel would be blessed, and anybody who would curse Israel would be cursed. So, Father, we bless Israel today, Lord. We don't have to agree with the decisions, but we pray for Israel, Lord, that in all of this, that you continue to lead Israel, Father. That in spite even of themselves, Father, you lead them, whether or not we agree. And Father, I thank you and praise you for what you're doing in our country. Lord, it's a little crazy, to put it mildly. But Father, that is politics. That is government, and that is the way this country has been for a long, long, long time. Father, we thank you and praise you for moving all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. What is the most important thing to you as an individual? What is it? Okay. Yeah, somebody shout some things out. God. But let me ask you this. What's an important thing that you can give up? I mean, it's right here, but God says, I want you to give it up. Okay. How about your kids? Yeah, that's a hard one right there. Oh, yeah. And when they graduate and they go off and they start doing their things, you're like, it's a new stage in life. Man, I wiped your butt. What's going on? Yeah. How about your job? How about your career? How about your favorite car? A car you built with your hands. I've done that a couple times. I'm going to tell you right now, when you put that much, I call it blood and blood equity, because you're inevitably going to bleed. You look at it and it's like, that's my baby. It's like one of the kids. So many things we can look at to give up. But the reality is, what should really be up in, we got God right here in our life, right? God should always be. I heard somebody say, why do we make lists and God is at the top of the list? God should be the center of our universe and everything else should go around him and us. It's not, here's God, here's this. No, it's like, here's God and then here's all of this. Kind of like our planetary system. We should all revolve around God. Matthew 10:39, Jesus said, who loses his life will find it. He who seeks his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake. Let's remember, everybody, they like to drop a few words in every scripture to make it more modern, more appeasable to people. Well, if I lose my life, Jesus said, I'll find it. He said, for my sake. The Bible is full of promises like that. That if we live our lives for him, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his way, his righteousness, and all these things will be done. Not seek ye first God and then all this stuff will come to you. It says his ways. His ways are not my ways. Sometimes, you know, if I'm wanting a house, well, I'll go the way that the world says to do it. Go see a realtor, go see a mortgage broker, and then, or the bank, and go that way. But what if God said, don't do it. Just trust me. Work a deal. Start here. don't understand. I can get this right now, but God says, start right here. And then you get, and you know, how many of you remember your first house that you bought? And you rented, and when you rented, well, you guys pretty much started out owning your home, didn't you? A few of you married couples were able to buy a home right off the bat. But you rented all those years, and somebody else was responsible for the roof that leaks, for the plumbing that's backed up, for the faucet that's leaking. Somebody else is responsible. Then you buy your own home. Who do I call? The water heater went out. Well, here's this, this, and this plumbing. You want how much? I wonder if I can do that. You get a wake-up call. What if God asked you to give it all up for his sake? In Genesis chapter 22, we read of a man who God said, I want you to give up not just this, all of this. All the way down the centuries of line. God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Now you need to understand a few things about this as well. See, Isaac wasn't a 12-year-old boy. He was a 40-year-old man. I've done the math and backed it with other writings that put Isaac closer to 40 when this took place. And God told him, he said, I want you to travel to a place I'm going to show you, the mountains of Moriah. And when you get there, I'll show you the mountain. Listen, look, there's a reason why God chose Abraham. There's a reason why he's listed in our Hall of Fame of Faith. God said to do something, and Abraham just said, okay. He said, follow me. Where are we going? Just follow me. Anybody ever, I've had one person tell me that, just follow me. And I mean an individual, not God. And it was a drill instructor who was a little ticked at me and was going to, what we called thrash. Follow me, and I went running through the woods with a pack on my back. It wasn't a good. The only time I nearly cried, because I was wore out. Never killed another mosquito either. God said, Abraham, follow me. Okay, let's go. He wandered around, but God made him a promise. He says, wherever you step your foot, I will give you that land. I'm going to give it to you. But Abraham had a problem, right? We talked about this last week. He didn't have a son. He didn't have an heir, and Eleazar was going to inherit all that he had. Fast forward, he tried it on his own, right? He went second best. Didn't work out. So, it took him a little more time, and then Isaac comes along. And when Isaac came along, the joy. Can you imagine that joy? You're old. You're an old man. I mean, I'm only 55, and I can't imagine having a baby right now. I was like, I'm tired. We realized a couple years ago why God gave you your grandchildren when you were older. Because the grandkids can go home, and you can rest. He gets the son. Story jumps through a few things there, but then we're up there where God says, all right, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son, your only son. God only recognized Isaac. He didn't recognize Ishmael. Because Ishmael wasn't the son of promise. He was a biological son of Abraham. And therefore carried some blessing, but not the blessing that he needed. And he'd lived with him. He grew, he watched him grow up, and God says, I want you to go sacrifice him. Abraham, did you notice Abraham quit? God, are you nuts? What's going on? No. He said, all right, All right. So they traveled. Abraham told his servants, you guys stand here, stay here with the donkeys while the boy and I go on ahead. He loaded the firewood up onto Isaac's back. Isaac's going up the mountain with all the firewood. Abraham's got the knife and the coals. And on the way up, something hits Isaac. Don't know what. Don't know what might have been speaking into his ear at the time. But he's like, Dad, I see I've got the firewood. We're good with the wood. You got the knife. You got the fire. Where's the sacrifice? Abraham, a man full of faith, says, my son, God, will provide himself a sacrifice. Abraham, I believe, also understood that Isaac's blood could not do what it needed to do. And that God did not require that human sacrifice. That would be later. That only the blood of Christ could actually do it. Now remember, Abraham's an older guy. Isaac's 40. He allowed his father to tie him up. Isaac did not fight it. He allowed God to do it. He allowed his father to tie him to sacrifice him. And I remember back when I was little, we had this record. And it was all the Bible stories on this record. And you followed along in a little book. And when he asked that, now in the pictures, they showed about a 12-year-old boy. But when he's talking and Isaac asks that question and he says, my son, God will. It was the first time I'd ever heard the human side of a character in the Bible. He choked. I've choked. Talking about something that moves me, something that that I love dearly, I will choke from time. You've all heard it. It's not always been the throat thing. He choked. His voice cracked. Because here's his promise, and he's about to kill it. And it says, as he raised the knife, and I've always loved that picture in my grandma's Bible. He's raising the knife. He's got it over his head, and Isaac's got big old eyeballs like, okay, this is going to happen. About that time, that angel reaches down and grabs his hand. The Bible says it's the angel of the Lord, the same angel that talked to Ishmael and Hagar. The same angel that would talk to him earlier, told him about this promise. He said, now I know that you are a man who fears God and that you will hold nothing from me. The Bible says he opened his, he looked up because he's probably crying. Think about that for a second. He's like a half a heartbeat and I would have cut him. Remember, God's got perfect timing. He's never early. He's never late. He's right on time. And when he did that, he just couldn't. He looked up and there's a ram caught in a thicket. The ram was not there when they got there. I know people say, well, you know, maybe it. No, God just put it there. And it was the sacrifice, and they sacrificed it. Now, in the book of Jasher, it's just a historical reference in that people have taught out of for centuries. There's a little part of this story that gets added in that was never put in our Bibles. It's Sarah. Sarah's at home. She knows Isaac and his daddy went on a trip. Yeah, maybe they're just going hunting. They took a knife. They took wood. They took fire. They're just going hunting. The devil shows up. Tells her, Abraham went to kill your son. He's going to kill your son. Pretty much she had a stroke and died. She died while they were gone. Because when they get back, the story jumps to, and Sarah died. Wasn't 40 years later, wasn't 30 years later, it was while they were gone. Abraham just came out of this and into, my wife is dead. Abraham entered a time of depression. Until pretty little thing down the road caught his eye, caught his son's eye. Who is that? Unfortunately, I think it's a cousin. he sent servants, and she graciously accepted them and came back. She became his wife. And when Abraham saw the fullness of the promise, see, a single guy, there's no inheritance coming down the line, but you got a wife, you've got a husband, you're going to have kids. Because God had promised him that. And the Bible says that Abraham's joy came back. He was seeing the fullness of a promise. And he went and took another wife. I think at this point he was about, was 125. I think he was 125. He was older. He was a lot older. Yeah. Really think about that for a second. Her name is Keturah. And they had children, sons and daughters. That's important in your Bibles if you've never studied it out, to go full circle. Israel goes into captivity and they come back out. But Jethro, a man who's a high priest in the land of Midian, gave his daughter to Moses to be married. And people gave Moses grief because she was darker skinned. The reality was, she was a cousin. Because the Midianites were descendants of Keturah. They were also descendants of Abraham. So what Moses, or not Moses, let me get back. Abraham gave up was not just one thing. You need to understand, he was giving up Jacob and Esau. Those 12 sons. All the sons of Esau. All the sons and daughters that each one of them and each and every generation had and came down the line. That's what he was giving up. God asked him to give it up. He gave it up in his heart 100%. How many times do we like Michelle was saying, we say, God, my kids are in your hands, but we want to. Yeah, they're in your hands, Lord. No, they're not in your hands until I take my hands off. I'm the one controlling them. They have to make their own bad decisions. Is there anybody in here who has not made a bad decision? And we will have the altar will be open for all liars. Everybody has made a bad decision. Sometimes it really bites you. Sometimes it doesn't. But in the end, we've all made bad decisions. The question is, did you learn from it? I watched a video of a guy, electrician, I'm guessing he's in Africa, by the buildings and things, and he's an electrician. He's stripping a wire and the wire wouldn't come off, so he... Next thing you know, you see his hard hat flying in the air and him rolling across the courtyard. Because it was a live wire. I think when he got up, he just walked out. That was a bad decision. Really bad. But did he learn from it? Like, yep, that didn't pan out. Sometimes, like I said, we get away with something stupid. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't get nearly as reprimanded or hurt by disobeying God's voice. Sometimes it breaks your back. What are you giving up? What has God asked you to give up? Jesus said, if you give up your life, that's exactly what Abraham gave up. He wasn't living for himself. He was living for Benjamin Netanyahu. Gal Gadot. These are just names you know, but they're all Jews. That's who he was giving up. He gave them up to God. God asks you to give up something, you got to take your hands off of it. Abraham had bound Isaac. And I have to think, man, was Abraham that really? He must have been a stud. I mean, personally, you know, I'm thinking as a man, dad hog ties me. First off, the fact that I let him hog tie me at 40. And yeah, you think I'm going to lay there? It goes to show you the amount of trust Isaac had in Abraham's faith in God. He knew Abraham had made mistakes, but he still trusted his father. There's a song from a little group. Some of you have been around for a while might know the name of the group. It's called Sweet Comfort Band. They were from the 70s and early 80s, Christian group. Their lead singer later, when they disbanded, his name was Brian Duncan. Some of you might recognize that voice a little better, or that name. But they did a song. It was one of the first contemporary Christian music I'd ever heard. And real simple. And he's just talking about being there alone by himself, and he's thinking about God. And he says, and that which I'd give up most is that which is most precious to me now. What is most precious to you? That's why I asked you that this morning. What do you have most precious? Your own life? There's so many people that's still the place. They're still there. I've told you before, years and years ago, after joining the Marines, I had to grow up. I had to adapt to a life that was no longer about me. I got out of boot camp. Mom said, could you really kill somebody? And I said, they can't make me kill anybody. And they couldn't. But August 2nd, 1990, I determined I could. That's when Saddam invaded Kuwait. And we were told we were going to war. I had a decision. Could I or couldn't I? And I said, I can. I also overcame a fear of death. Not that I want to die. Okay, let's just understand that. I'm not trying to die or anything. I do not fear death. Because I believe it was Charlie Kirk, maybe even been the one who coined it. Death, the only thing death can do to a believer is deliver him to Jesus sooner. That's it. When you understand that, oh, but the hurting people, they will bounce. They will recover. If Jesus is their Lord. And so I quit fearing death. What's it going to do to me? What are they going to do to me? Shave my head, send me to boot camp? Been there, done that, got the bozo button to prove it. What are they really going to do? Oh, you're going to kill me if I don't deny Christ. Gotcha. Take your pick. Do you need me to draw a bullseye? When you fear death, fear will rule your life. Abraham did not fear it. He was not fearing what God wanted because he knew God better than that. I know so many people, I'm going to get into a message I want to do later this month about fear, because let's be honest, what's the point of October now? Fear! That's all it's about. Everybody was afraid demons were going to come to their houses, so they made jack-o'-lanterns to scare them away. I remember the first vampire movie I saw, and the guy had his holy water and the garlic, and the vampire took it, drank the water, and ate the garlic. He said, "That's just a wives' tale, son." That's paraphrased, but what are you afraid of? Afraid something's going to happen to your kids. I get that. They'd go to school. I just try not to think too much about it. Here's something happening on the news. You know what? I'm not going to live in that fear. But when I gave up the fear of dying, I was able to give up my life wholly to God. Completely and 100%, I was able to give it up. Because there's always a part, "Well, I want my dreams, Lord." You young people out here, you got dreams, and hold on to them, but don't forget to let God direct them. This is not where my dreams were heading. But now that I can stand here and look back, I'm like, wow, it's so much better than I thought. We give up our life. That means we give up the whole thing. Our dreams. All of Abraham's dreams were on Isaac. All of our dreams, well, they're on our job. They're on our kids, right? For Abraham, that was one and the same. And reality is, when we fear, we're worried about that, and we won't give it up. That's the problem. When we fear something happening, we won't let God have them. Because that really is the hard part, is letting them go and do their own thing. Even though we know they need to do it, right? I know one day I'm going to hear some stories. They started telling me stories before they got out of the house. I'm like, y'all do know you should wait until you out of the house before you tell me what you did to my truck? Because it explains so much. But by giving up that control, God is now able to work in their lives. God is able to show himself faithful to them. They need to trust him as I've learned to trust him. What is the most precious thing to you? Your life. "Well, I don't value it like..." Well, then you're stupid. And I said it. Because otherwise, Jesus came for nothing. He died for nothing if your life isn't valuable. Because that's why he died, was for you. He died for each and every one of us so that we could live. He said, "I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." I'd rather have that abundant life. I would rather have life. Like I've said before, you know, I've been over here on this side. Never been way over here on the wealthy side, but I'm happy. I'm good. I've got joy. When we let go and let God, first off, we'll see God move in our kids' lives because they got to trust him just like you do. They're going to be tempted just like you. Isaac was tempted. Isaac didn't make every right decision. I mean, come on. We get a this much blip of a man's life who was this old. It's not the exact biography of the man's life. And looking back, I'm sure Isaac's like, thank you, God, that you didn't put every stupid thing I did in there. Because personally, I'm hoping for the magic eraser in my life, my timeline. They're going to be like, Dad, there's about a 10-year window here. Oh, yeah, we just won't talk about those 10 years. And then there's all these blank spots. Yep. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. But when we give up our lives, God helps us to find it. We find that joy that I just spoke about. I gave up my dreams of doing other things. When Angela and I got together, I was going to do this, this, and this. And then the dream kept shifting just a little bit, but in the back there was always this, and then God let me do this for a short period. But it was just so he could set me up for here. Because he says, now I want to give you life abundantly. That includes joy. What you do should bring you some joy. Helping others. That's why missions trips are vitally important. When I went to Ukraine back in 10, it was a lonely time. And I now know, though, that God has not called me to be an evangelist like that. He said, I called you to be a pastor to these people. Send. That's kind of been where I've at. And I'm like, we will send them, Lord. We will do everything we can to send. But we have. We've sent several people through the years to other countries so that they could open up the gospel. Give up your life. Be willing to do something outside of yourself. If your life is only centered on you and your four and no more, you messed up. Sorry. Because here's what's going to happen. Your kids are going to duplicate what you're doing. And if you aren't reaching people for Jesus, if you are not reaching out to others, they aren't either. That's just the way it goes. We do the things we seen, and we don't do the things we didn't see him do. But if they see a sacrifice, and yes, giving up your life for God to do things is a sacrifice, but Jesus promised, I'll give it back to you. You will find life. Oh, but brother, yeah, I know in the eternal. Listen, you need to have a whole brainwashing moment. You need to get in the Word and see, yeah, everybody goes through stuff, but the people that held on to God and trusted him, they found joy. And some of them were crucified, boiled in oil, stoned. And we're not talking with ganja. We're talking with big rocks. Imagine the Apostle Paul crawling out from underneath those piles. And the reality was, Paul, out of all the apostles that we have record of, was the only one who could have had every Jew there killed. Because he was a Roman citizen and they were not. He never once used that to his advantage. Why? Because my brother doesn't have that option. And when I leave, they will beat him. And I might as well be here with him. They're going to beat him. They're going to beat me too. He gave up his life, but yet he found it. He had spent his life fervently serving God, didn't he? You need to understand, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew the Bible. And he was holding people accountable that he thought were heretics. And it said, if they're doing this, you kill them. And, oh, he's false. I can't imagine being standing there watching Stephen being stoned to death, a young man of God, who's only telling people about the love of God And Paul's standing there holding their coats. Probably stirring on the fury. Only for God to bring him to his knees. And he said, here's pretty much your option. Live or die. I will kill you right here where you stand. Or you can live and serve me. Paul chose to give up his own life and served God. Paul saw things. He learned things. He taught things. Our Bible is just a blip again. Just a blip of what even the Apostle Paul taught. But all because he gave up his own life. Everybody we read in the Bible had to have given up their life at one point. Gideon had to give up his life. Gideon was not a combat-trained soldier. He was the only one who was brave enough to be out in daytime grinding his wheat. That's what separated him. He was the only one out in the daytime. Everybody else did it at night. And you can't see what you got. You can't see where it falls. But he ended up giving up his life. And he led Israel to a victory. Samson, in the end, gave up his life. Yeah, sin led him to that point. Like I said, not every decision is a fatal one with God, but some of them are. When you disobey. But in the end, he obeyed. What is most precious that you're willing to give up? You still holding on to them, still trying to control them? For me, even that's still even a hard thing to do sometimes. I'm just finding I'm like, just got to bite the tongue more. I was helping Joshua the other day change a broken tooth on the cutter bar on his combine. We were trying to get it done quick. Yeah, my son's a mechanic. He's an excellent mechanic. We're down there, and I popped the thing off. I had the other one. I stuck it on there, and it hit me. Dad, hands off. I said, I'm sorry, bud. This is yours. I know you know what you're doing. I just wanted to help. Sometimes helping is getting your hands out of the way because he's the one putting it on. That's the hard part. I know some of you dads know what I'm talking about. You want to help, but sometimes you just got to say, I can't do it. And you can help with some things when they ask. And that's what I've told my kids. You need to ask me. You ask me and I'm there. But if I got to keep pushing my way in, I'm not letting God into your life. If I got to keep telling you to serve God, sounds to me like you need a road to Damascus. And Paul's daddy was not there. It was between him and Jesus. So, settle it in your heart what you're giving up to follow God. And I know some of you have. But make sure it stays there. It's got to always stay there. Lord, this is it. I'm not taking it back. I can't say, God, I'm done. Because if I say, God, I'm done, well, give me a couple weeks and you'll be at my funeral. Because God has saved me so many times from my own stupidity in his will. What am I going to do out of his will? Well, God's going to kill you. God doesn't have to kill me. I will do that myself being stupid. And I know I'm not alone. I got a lot of good redneck guys here. We do stupid things. Last famous words. Watch this. I say, watch this. Watch what happens when you serve God. You give him your life. God, I want to do what you want to do. I wish somebody had told me back when I was 17, 18, 19, a little more about trusting God. Everybody started telling me what they wanted me to do. You know what? I want my kids to be godly first. Find the joy of God and happiness in that. And be successful at what God leads them to be. Because if I were to say, well, you know, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. Yeah, and you need to do it the way I said to do it. It ain't worked out that way. Each one of them got their own path to walk, and each one of them are going to do it. Two of them have wives, one of them has three kids. And now I get to be the influencer of faith. Trust God, boy. Trust God, Carter. Just trust God. That's my role now. And I have to put them into God's hands. As I see him jump onto his own John Deere now, start it up and drive it across the yard. I'm like, where'd the little boy go? They're not little boys forever, are they? They will grow. And one of these days, he's going to make a stupid decision. I'm going to look at him. Bummer, dude. We're going to have to see how God's going to handle this with you. But guess what? God already knew he's going to make that stupid decision, and he's already got it figured out, just like every one of your decisions. But I could have done that differently. Could have, would have, should have, right? All right, let's stand. Continue to pray for your country, folks. It needs it. But understand something, that when hell opens its gates, we're the fire extinguisher. We don't go out there and fight them in the street. That's what my flesh wants to do, trust me. I see people burning the flag. I think y'all know how I feel about the flag. I want to put the fire out. I was told by my drill instructors in boot camp, you see somebody burning the flag, you put the fire out. He said, and if that means taking the extinguisher and bouncing it off of their noggin, that's what you do. That doesn't work, just so you know, that really gets you in trouble now. But we need to understand our country needs us to be praying. We've all got a little different opinion on certain things because we've seen different things. We've been through different things. But the reality is we've never seen anything like this. Never before has China and Russia been threatening us and Israel. I'm pretty sure there's a book in our Bible that starts talking about that. Never before. Never before has people thrown such a fit when we take out drug dealers. Even though it's what they want. But because we did it, you're evil. So what's more evil, the meth that's coming across the lines? Yeah, I won't get into it. It's political. Pray for your country. Drugs are not good, period. Pray for those people to get a revelation of what they're doing. Some of them are just doing it because of money. They got no other options. Start praying for options for them. That's why we're supposed to pray in love. We pray in hatred. Well, we ask God to kill everybody that doesn't like us. And there might be some of you not in here today if you don't like me. Just kidding. Believe the best for what God wants. Things are going to happen, and we're going to be standing there. I didn't see that coming. There's more of it to come. But pray for our country. Pray for our leaders. Because I'll remind you once again, it was Peter who said, pray for the king. Pray for your leaders, he said. The emperor at the time was Caligula, who was not sane. He said, pray for him. He was deranged. What kind of love did Peter develop that he could look at that man and say, pray for him? He developed the love of Christ, who on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God, for your word, for the power that it holds. Lord God, for the lives that get changed. Father, I pray this word settles deep into each and every one of us, Lord. If there's anywhere we're holding back, we're not giving you, Lord God, move. Holy Spirit, shake us in those areas to rattle them free from our grip, or to show us that we need to let go and just trust you. Whether it be with our kids, whether it be with our job, whether it be with our homes, whatever it is, Lord God, that we have to just let go and let God. Now, Father, I thank you. I praise you for each and every one of these. Father, I pray for those who are raising children right now. Lord God, give them wisdom. Give them courage. Father God, give them the endurance and the patience that they need. Father, for those who are not married. Father, those who do not have children. Lord, I pray that you continue to guide their lives, lead them and guide them, Father, as they put their trust 100% into you. Father, we know we just need to take a step. James said, if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. So Lord God, a step in your direction is a step towards you. So Father, move in their lives. Lead them and guide them, Father. Bless them as they trust you. And now, Father, I thank you for these people today. I bless them, Lord God. Bless their households. Bless their health, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you're moving mightily, that you're doing great things in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.